Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Five star. It's the
job. Aww. Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Got you on my back, son.
Another Tuesday.
Got you on my back.
Another Crab Feast for that ass. Oh, man. It's good to see you, Jay. Good to jump your pitch late there.
I'm going to be honest. Late. You were a little flat up top,
I thought it was
man.
You, to be honest.
I'm going to be straight up with you. I went first. What do you mean?
I was going up and down to try to catch you. I felt like you jumped up on me in a half octave.
A half octave. What's up, Sickle Cell? Sickle Cell! Feast of Nation, nice to be here with you. Jay Larson, jaylarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy across all social media. Couple shows for you guys to think about. I'm going to be doing Set List at Nerd Melt Theater on the 27th, and I'll be at the Meltdown at Nerd Melt on the 24th. Two great shows in town to check out. Anything else you can check online, and hopefully I'll see you soon. Sickle?
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'd like to thank all the feasters that came out to the Seattle shows. Mick Betancourt and I had a great time. Thank you for coming out. We love the support up there. And hopefully we're working on something that might get us back up to Seattle. We'll see about that. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. February 16th, live Crab Feast podcast at the Hollywood Improv with our first guest to kick
Who?
Off the year.
Ha!
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris
is our first guest. We've already got some great guests for March lined up as well. These are going to be monthly on a Tuesday at the Hollywood Improv. You got to come out for that. And also keep an eye out for some upcoming dates. We're going to be doing a Crab Feast stand-up show at the Comedy Store beginning in April. And we've got several months booked for that right now.
Yeah,
so that's
we're
pretty
excited about
right
that.
Now. Tickets for all shows are on RyanSickler.com and thecrabfeast.com. And as always, for however you support the show, whether it's merch or Amazon, premium apps, whatever, messages on the fan page or iTunes page, we love you for it. Thank you for doing it.
Message on the fan page, whoa.
You know who else we love? Our sponsors
we love
this week.
Sherry's Berries. Guys, here's the deal. Valentine's Day is literally 5 days away.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm not
Sunday.
Just talking to the dudes. I'm talking to the ladies out there as well. It's nice to get a gift on Valentine's Day, isn't it, Ryan?
I love it.
Let me tell you this. Anytime we do a sponsorship with Sherry's Berries, they'll send us over some Sherry's Berries.
Yeah.
And I got them the other day. And I opened them up, and they're ridiculous.
They are so good and huge.
Huge. Huge. And they're beautiful. I mean, they do them chocolate chip covered, chopped nuts, or like decorative
swirled.
Swizzles.
Yeah,
yeah,
swizzles.
They say swizzles. So,
okay.
But they're insane. Like they're ridiculous. So it's a great way to send someone something for Valentine's Day. I personally think you have time. Don't be the idiot that waits. Order it now. Because we're going to give you an offer, which I'll get to, and send it to her office on Thursday of this week or Friday and give her something or give him something. Do you understand what happens? That just builds anticipation. If they're at work and they get that treat delivered, everyone's like, ooh, what's going on? Now everyone around the office is like, ooh, there's something sexy going on.
Somebody loves that
Someone loves you, and now you're feeling a little tingly inside, and you're like, oh, shit, what's up? So I'm just saying, step up this year, and Sherry's Berries is a great way to do it. I'll offer freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. That's over a 40% savings. And for our listeners, you can double the berries for just $10. Just go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in the code CRAB. That's our code CRAB, C-R-A-B. This is kind of a no-brainer. And this is the other thing I didn't know. Sherry's Berries has been doing this for 10 years now. I mean, not a lot of people that are doing it, but they've been in it longer than anyone else. And they take care of the details. You know what I mean? You don't have to do anything. You go on, click, boom, and go. And I'll tell you right now, Wait till you see these things.
They're monsters. They're like, I couldn't get over it.
How many times you've gone to an event and they have like chocolate dipped strawberries and people are like, ooh.
Right.
These things dwarf them and they're perfectly done. The chocolate chip, the whole deal. It's
fantastic.
It's pro and it's going to make you look like a pro. So again, go to berries.com starting at $19.99 or double berries for $10 more. At checkout, click the microphone and type in our code CRAB. Time is running out. Order today.
And another thing you can do for Valentine's Day is send someone flowers. And I say someone because I was going to say send your wife or your woman or whoever the woman is in your life flowers.
But then you remembered me saying.
I just remembered that. That's what happened. And Valentine's Day is this weekend. It's Sunday.
Falling on a Sunday.
All right. And you're tired of guessing what someone wants every Valentine's Day. It's simple. Pro Flowers. They're offering our listeners 24 assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. Or you can really be a hero and upgrade to long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com and use our code CRAB. Like Jay said, you can surprise her at the office. Pro Flowers are quick, they're easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. That's what's huge. You will get these on or before Valentine's Day when you pick it. Pro Flowers are guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. It's a no-brainer. You can't beat the price and convenience. They take care of the details. You get the glory. And we always use Pro Flowers. Every time I've used Pro Flowers, they've been great. I've had no problems.
My wife was, we had to send flowers last week, and she was like, doing the whole deal. And she goes, these are crazy expensive. I go, let me see. And it was like $70. And I go, why are you not using Pro Flowers right now? And she's like, I didn't even think of that. I'm like, babe, you trying to support the Crab Feast or what, girl?
Come on, girl. I got Stella flowers for Valentine's Day from the Crab Feast this year. And here's how you can do it. This is the only way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner and type in CRAB, C-R-A-B. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in our code CRAB. Don't wait for this weekend. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight.
I'll tell you what doesn't expire is this episode because it lives forever on our iTunes page. And we're excited about this guest for the first time on the Crab Feast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. Jeremiah Watkins. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Jeremiah Watkins.
Yeah, feels good to be here. Woo.
Very excited to have you here.
Very excited to be here.
A little sarcasm in that. That was a little bit of sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before we get into anything, let's just introduce you and tell everybody where they can find you on social media and where they can see you.
Sure. JeremiahWatkins.tv is my website.
.tv, player! Sup, son?
Or if you want to type in JeremiahWatkins.com, it'll redirect it.
Redirect.
I got both, player. Wait. I waited out on the other Jeremiah Watkins to crumble. Then I took his website.
Wait. Oh, so you got TV first?
I got TV first.
Why don't you just redirect to com?
Yeah. Huh? Because TV is multimedia, player, and that's the future.
TV is done.
I love it. You got .tv.
.tv, man. Yeah. I've got so much so much content on there. You know, it's like a TV channel.
You let people know. Do you get a lot of content, a lot of videos on there?
A lot of sketches, a lot of videos, music videos, all kind of stuff.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But Jeremiah does tons of sketches and characters. And
yeah, you're crazy. You do a lot of crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I met you through Roast Battle. Why don't you tell them about Roast Battle?
Roast Battle is basically two comedians go head to head, and if you've seen like 8 Mile, it's kind of like a rap battle, Michigan. They're verbally insulting each other instead of rapping at each other, so it's just dissing each other back and forth.
The dozens.
Yeah.
Yes. And with judges.
With judges. It's got a panel.
What you're a part of.
And I'm a part of the All Negro Wave.
Right.
Except
I'm white.
You know you white, son.
And I'm the token. I know I'm white, son.
It's such a fun show. Jay and I just both judged the last 2 weeks, and I was really telling him to the in-house racist. I love
Earl. Oh, yeah.
Earl Skakel's so amazing, on point. Yeah. And just not, like, in my mind, I always thought it would be yelling and loud, but he's just casually calm, you know, like this.
Subtle
like,
no, racism, you know?
I completely agree with white people. Yeah, just straight up.
And for those of you that might not be in L.A., because Roast Battle's every week.
Right.
But you guys go to festivals and someone Periscopes it every week, right?
Yeah, every week. Yeah.
Now, when I judged it for the first time, was at South by Southwest, and I didn't know about the Negro Wave. And once they pop, I lost it.
Oh, it's so funny.
I lost
it. So, yeah, basically, if you don't know what that is, whenever somebody hits a joke that lands really hard and gets a big response from the audience, me and a couple other black guys run up on stage and just hijinks ensue.
One time you had a baby. Crazy. I watched you guys have a baby.
Yeah, gave birth on stage.
They really do like the craziest little like 10-second sketches that are just hilarious. It's like
showstoppers. Yeah. They're total. I not only want the comedians to hit a good joke because it's a good insult and it makes me laugh, but I also want, because you don't show up unless they do.
Nope.
So they have got to bring it to see the wave.
It's like hitting a guy in a dunk tank. You know what I mean? If you hit the thing, yeah, you get to see him dip. So if you throw a great joke, boom, you get to see the Negro Wave.
Yeah, Jamar Neighbors, Willie Hunter, a couple of my cohorts in there.
Yeah, you guys kill it.
Yeah. Recently, Haiti. Keep playing.
Yeah, you have a new guy now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to keep training.
Or was there a subtraction?
Well, it's like Wu-Tang, you know? Sometimes you can't have all the members present. You just got to have different versions.
True.
So that's kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the guys who we go to certain festivals with are sometimes different from the guys who we do it in the belly room with, just based on availability. Like, Jamar was shooting, like, a Key and Peele movie, so he was out for, like, a few months. So I was like, I got to start training, like, a new guy. Like, so that's when Haiti came in, and he's been filling in for a while. He's been doing good.
Hilarious.
They baby oiled him the other night, which made me laugh so hard, because I was like, I wonder if that's water that they're pouring on him, or it couldn't be because they commit. And they poured baby oil all over his back.
They gave him a massage on stage.
But it's all done in like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
they're
on
and
off. It's like
quick.
Human versions of Vine is what it is.
Yeah.
And way better.
He was just, and he was sitting in a chair, and I'm, because of where I'm at the judge's table, I can see him right down here below me, and I'm dying because he's just wiping himself for the next like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was all over him. It was hilarious. And people are looking at him like, look at him wiping himself. He's got napkins and shit. Oh, it was very funny. So, you know, I'm getting to know you, and also because of Goddamn Comedy Jam, you're part of that as well too. Yeah,
yeah.
So
I play,
you're everywhere right now.
Play a character on the Goddamn Comedy Jam called Mosh Pit, which is basically my impression of Josh Adam Myers. And yeah, I'm like the hype man for that show, along with Johnny Scortis, who plays Razorblade, and then I'll occasionally play sax with the band. Yeah.
You're on the second and third hottest shows in L.A., the Roast Battle and Goddamn Comedy Jam, first being the Craft Feast Live shows.
There you go.
There you go.
Hashtag shout out to yourself.
And then I got to do stand-up with you, and I was like, because I just knew you from both of those, the Roast Battle and stuff, and your stand-up was fun, and we had a blast down in San Diego, so I'm glad that we got you out here.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
La Jolla weekend, Jay and I saw each other's dicks. We got close, man.
Yeah, I know. Man,
we got real close.
That's what I really want to talk about, because I feel like there's a lot of pent-up going on, because Jay had come back telling me some stories about you, and then I did your show.
Yeah, you did.
You had me on your show.
Yeah, you guys actually both did the same show. Stand up on the spot.
Yeah,
the same night.
Saw Brooks was there too.
I was ready to, I was supposed to retire last year from stand up, and then like yours was one of the first shows I did in 16. I was like, I'm rejuvenated now.
He retired, and then the Vikings called. Was it the Vikings before the Jets, or was it the Jets and then the Vikings?
True.
Where did Favre go after Green Bay?
He went. Jets then
first,
the Vikings.
Then the Vikings,
and he could have went to that Super Bowl if he could have just chilled out.
That's right.
You know?
You're the Jets. You're the Jets, the Jay Larson.
You know it, play.
So I watched you do your stand-up, and I was not only blown away by the content in your stand-up of what you were actually personally revealing, but I was also blown away that you were personally revealing that, which is why I fucking love comedians, because they'll tell you almost anything. Some of them are like, I don't want to tell you about
they'll
that.
They'll be like, is anyone recording?
Dude, that's how I am. Like, if a camera's rolling, I'll definitely do way crazier stuff than if somebody's like, hey, just go up and do this. It's like, is there a camera involved? Are we documenting this?
But this is what's different about Jeremiah. You never had one sip of alcohol and never had any drugs.
True.
You didn't have sex until how old?
22, player.
22 and a half, you said.
And
that half, at
that
matters, end,
matters.
That
matters.
That's 6 months.
Time, right?
If that's a prison sentence, that's 6 months matters.
Yeah.
It was a prison sentence.
That's what I'm saying,
I mean, how is that even possible?
I got six more months, motherfucker.
I mean, I get how it's possible.
I know. You look at me, you're like, man, look at this Greek god in front of me. He must crush, you know?
Right? You said you grew up hardcore Christian.
Yeah. Grew up super religious, yeah.
But both
like
your
going
parents,
door to door and shit?
Yeah. What no. is hardcore Christian to you? So you're from Kansas.
Okay, yeah. So I'll explain. I'm in Kansas. It's part of the Bible Belt in the Midwest. And we just grew up super strict. Like, okay, so the church.
I mean, you might be in the buckle if you're waiting 22 yeah. and a half years. You're not the belt. You're the motherfucking buckle.
You're inside one tight. Of the loopholes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You're that new hole you put in way at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of, oh, with a screwdriver.
Years yeah. for this guy.
Yeah. So we're in Kansas, and it was super strict. So the sect of church that we grew up, it was Protestant, but even more specifically to that, it was called Church of God Holiness, which is even more strict than like Baptist and some other things.
They branched off.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, yeah, we got this. We got this.
That ain't enough.
If y'all want to go down to church where they let you touch yourselves, go ahead. We're going over here to Church of the God of Holiness.
So at this church, the women were discouraged to wear makeup. If you're a woman, pants definitely were not allowed. And
really?
You were supposed to wear either dresses.
All my pants.
Either dresses or like long skirts. The men, never sleeveless shirts in the summertime or anything like that. It's always t-shirts or long.
What about half shirts?
I mean.
Fishnet half
you know,
shirts.
If you want to be a sinner, you know. But. Yeah, it was super
so strict. Basically cover your body.
Cover your body was a big
that was
big
a big
thing.
And don't spruce it up.
And don't spruce
no
it up.
No makeup.
Au natural.
Was there any
I would love it first of all if the Negro Wave showed up at your pastor.
Yeah.
That would be fucking hilarious. He says, "Praise God," and you guys hop up and
having a baby on stage.
Yeah.
Now, what been. Now I forgot what I was going to ask you as we went to the Negro Wave, but that's okay.
Super strict. No? Okay. Anyway, tell it. So, all right. So, and that was your parents? They were both into it too?
My dad was more into it than my mom. My mom was always she would always kind of go to bat for us kids with certain things. Like, she's like, if my dad would, like, my dad wouldn't let, for example, wasn't allowed to play Mortal Kombat growing up. I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons at some point. Like, he would go, like, back and forth, and my mom would always, I'd be like, "Mom, Dad's on." She's like, pick your battles. And so we would choose certain things. And I remember the first time I directly disobeyed my dad was he told me to turn off Saturday Night Live once. And I was just like, not happening. This is my show.
That was your shit, right?
And then so I just stayed up and kept watching it. He's like, "Turn that trash off." He's like, yeah. He would go back and forth with it. He would go in waves of being like super religious to he'd back off a little bit to back to super religious. So it was like this like constant up and down.
Is he supportive now?
Yeah, he's supportive now.
But was that just your family or was that anyone like all the families you knew that went to this church were the same way? Like if you went over to someone else's house, were their parents just as strict? Was it similar to your upbringing or were you different in that respect?
Okay, so I started living a double life, guys. No, I grew up, so from preschool all the way up until seventh grade, I went to a private Christian school. And then in eighth grade, I started going to public school. And that's when everything started changing like big time, obviously. And during the time that I was in private Christian school, I had buddies who I played soccer with that all went to public school. So I had a group of friends who I knew my entire life that I grew up with that had nothing to do with the church, nothing to do.
The outsiders.
Yeah, the outsiders. And then
outsiders.
Pony boy. And then the other half, basically, was people who, it was this like-minded people who, God-fearing people who, super strict, weren't allowed. Like, I remember renting Black Sheep. And it's like a PG-13 movie. And his dad, my buddy's dad, walked down and he heard like one of the lines. Yeah, he heard Farley yelling. And then he's like, "If I hear one more curse word, this thing is out of here." And then it was the one F-bomb in the movie Right, after he said that, he's like, give me that tape. And then he ripped the tape out of the VCR and then took it back to Blockbuster.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I was like, we went to Blockbuster, and this is like a super religious family's house. They're like, Jeremiah, what movie do you like? I was like, there's this guy, Chris Farley. His movies are amazing. We got to get Black Sheep. So we got that, and they're like, okay, yeah, this is like a fun family movie. I was like, you'll see. And then yeah, ripped it out.
That kid comes over.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I'm that guy.
You're the bad influence.
And I'm the bad influence for bringing a PG-13
right,
movie
exactly.
over.
So, guy's trying to help his brother run for governor of Washington. Wasn't
yeah.
that what it was?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
I do remember what I was going to say. You were talking about the rules that were for women. Were there any for men? Or was this all like
it was,
all religions? You know,
I mean, it was way
men
heavily
dominated and created
it was
by man.
Yeah, it was very much like that. There wasn't as many rules. I mean. Like, I remember going to a church camp where they were super, like, anti-porn on all that stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the guy, this was a time, it was so funny, it was, like, one of the youth counselors there, is like, an older guy, is married, has kids, and he starts off, this like, an all-male, like, teen group, and he's like, now, I know that all of you have looked at porn, because I do it all the time. And like
that's
we're looking,
because
we're like,
and then he strums the guitar.
And I'm looking around like I've never even seen porn at this
porn,
age.
Porn?
Yeah, I was like, what? He's like, come on, don't. Like he's trying to make himself feel better. Like,
right,
come on, we all do it. Yeah, because he's
yeah.
obsessed with it. He's like, come
let
on, guys, we all do it. And I'm just like, what are you? I was like, do you look at porn? And then one of my friends, like, he bows his head. He's like, mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
I was like, oh, I guess this group does look at porn.
So wait, so does that mean like were you looking at sex like it was this? Because I mean, 22 and a half, was sex something that was like forbidden to you, or did you think like you had to wait to get married?
Oh,
and
you had to wait to get married in this church. It was like, that's like a must. Like divorce is evil. In this background, this setting, you can't have sex until marriage.
But can you fuck
need to
for
go to
fun,
church.
Or can you nope. only sex for procreation?
I guess once you're married, game on.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
anything you want.
On.
I mean, there were couples in banging in a pew
right.
during communion.
Sure,
like, hey, they're married. Leave them alone.
Where's your? I can't see your ring, Larry. Okay,
yeah, all right,
all right. Okay.
He took the vow. There it is.
Yeah. So I would growing up, I would go to church camps, and we would go. My dad would have us go to church.
Wait, can I
three just, times a week?
I'm gonna ask you.
Oh,
that's what I say. So you're,
Sunday
in, a, you're
morning,
in a Christian school,
Sunday night and Wednesday night.
You're in a Christian school.
Christian school,
5 days a week.
Yep.
Is there mass during school?
There are. There's Friday morning chapel is what they call it.
Okay, but you had to go though.
You had to go. Right. All of our science books were creationist science books.
Oh my god!
And evolution. Was a side, the it was very interesting the way, looking back at it now, the way they portrayed evolution, because it was like the science books were all creationist science books, and we would watch videos and stuff of debates of creationists debating with evolutionists.
It was
and
like dubbed over by like
yeah.
a pastor's voice.
Like
that is not true.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, all right, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. They altered education.
Yeah.
From
like
their
the
beliefs.
South with the textbooks.
Yeah. So, you know? So evolutionists, I mean, they're like, it was like this really small side note thing. It's like, Charles Darwin, it's his theory that he has, blah, blah. But back to Jesus.
Take God taking the rib out of a man and
yeah.
make
but,
him
I mean,
more,
that's
yeah.
that's essentially what it was. Yeah.
Wow.
So, excuse me. So you're in Friday chapel.
Friday chapel, yeah.
And then plus the 3 days your dad's
plus
making
three
you
days
go.
A week. Yeah.
So you're 4 days a week of basically mass.
Yeah.
For how long?
Up until seventh grade.
Up
like
until
it would lighten up here and there on like the Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Like it would be a treat if we didn't have to go two times on Sunday.
I bet.
Or if we got to sleep
up on
in.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Double sessions, dude.
So yeah. That's five then, really?
No.
Oh.
Two Sunday, one Wednesday, Friday chapel.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then, but. Bible verses and stuff throughout the week, though. So it's like, it's a lot.
At home and stuff, too?
Yeah, so Somewhat.
Jesus, not, what the hell did your parents do? That they had to do this. You know what I mean?
What past life did they
How many people did your dad kill?
14.
Have you seen the Netflix show Making a Murder?
He was actually a PA on that.
He was a PA on that. Yeah. He's
super so, rich. Obviously, revealing your body is frowned upon. I'm sure you said touching it is frowned upon.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to pleasure yourself. Even though you're not getting married, even though you're a virgin, you're still not allowed to pleasure yourself. There's no no orgasm.
Can I just go on a limb? Can I just go on a limb real quick and assume there aren't many churches that are like, all right, you're 14 now. Everybody should be pleasured. No one's coming out and saying.
No, but there are churches from the beginning, like the Catholic Church, that tells you that too. It's a sin to masturbate. They tell you that. So then you believe that, just like. He believed it because they're taught that.
He believes it because it's true, Rye. And if anyone out there is self-mutilating.
You pray in hell. Versus just never.
Guys, if you're masturbating, listening to our voices right now, keep doing it, okay?
Versus never addressing it. You know what I mean? Like addressing it when a person brings that to them. Like, hey, I'm allowed to masturbate? Of course you can, man. You're fucking Protestant or whatever they are allowed to. I don't know if the Methodist allowed to rub it out.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Catholics aren't, though. And neither are Church of what?
Church of God, Holiness.
Holiness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, like, you know how, like, the Catholic Church, like, the new Pope has gone back on the stance of towards gay people and gay marriage and stuff like that? Could you imagine if the Catholic Church comes on, like, listen, it's 2020. If you got to jack off, just jack off out there, guys.
All right. Bro. Just rub one out, for Christ.
Listen, jacked off today. Still love the Lord. I mean, that'd be crazy.
I hope he does that in a future speech. It'd put a lot of people to rest.
It might change the world just to let somebody get one out, man. Empty the fucking barrels.
Take it easy over there. Guys, for those of you who don't, Rye is masturbating right now.
Yeah, it's getting pretty aggressive.
I do want to talk about that, though, because I grew up Catholic, and I didn't I wasn't that strict. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't have to. I went to Sunday school, but that was my every Sunday. But my parents didn't make me go to church.
Sometimes we would do that. on the 3 days we would do Sunday school, then Sunday morning for the adults that church service, and then Sunday night. It was like a full. It was most of the day. Most of the day was filled with church.
So. You know, they always would tell us, it's so funny too, because they would always say, you know, masturbation's a sin and all this stuff. And you're like, oh my God, you're a kid. You know, you're like, this shit's going on inside me. And am I really going to burn in this hell that they're teaching me about? But then we get to, you know, an age where I finally was like, I can't help it. So right, the summer between fifth and sixth grade is when I first started experimenting and found the magic, found a little early. But I feel like I was steered there a little early because they kept saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And I'm like, hey, shit's probably got to feel pretty good.
See, they didn't address it that much, actually, in my church, if ever. So it was almost like an ignorance is bliss thing for the longest time. Like, I didn't even know what it was until I started going to public school. In eighth grade and middle school, that's when, like, Jeremiah, you masturbate yet? And I was like, what?
Not supposed to. You son of a bitch.
So
if you weren't masturbating, you were just wet dreaming like crazy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I had so many wet dreams. I used to have multiple a week. All the time.
How many did you have in your lifetime?
I had a lot. I was a late masturbator, too. Not like this guy, but, like, I had a lot.
And a half.
I loved them. They're the best.
Every time I had sex with Cindy Crawford. They're better than masturbating.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. You wake up, you're like, oh, that was real.
Now, would you wake up with, like, full boxers?
What do you mean full?
You know, wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just like a little bit, like a lot of it, right?
Yeah, you did, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, well, because you were like, I mean, you weren't taking care of, I mean, yeah.
So
yeah.
See, this
but
is
But I knew
this
what was going on. Jeremiah didn't know what was going on.
This is scientifically what is fascinating to me because they, again, in school, in fifth grade, it was when they separated the boys and girls and gave us the, this is what's going on with you and your bodies, you know what I mean, and give you that little prep talk to puberty and health and all that. Uh-huh. And they kept telling us about wet dreams. And they were natural and don't worry about it. It's the body's way of it's normal, all this puberty. And I only ever had two. But it makes sense to me now because I was masturbating between fifth and sixth
third grade.
Yeah. But it scientifically blows my mind that because your body isn't releasing it, you know,
it finds
it,
another way
to do that. Yeah, it's fascinating to me. So now it makes sense because I was like, God, they kept telling us it was going to happen. But now it makes sense why you would give a kid a heads up, because if you're shooting three of those a week out, I'd be a little fucking worried too.
See, so when was that talk where you were given that wet dream talk in school?
Sixth grade?
Fifth grade.
Okay.
Fifth grade? Yes. Are you sure?
I'm gonna say sixth. Maybe wet dream was sixth grade, but there was a talk in fifth grade where they were
Whoa, you're saying there was a specific wet dream assembly?
There was an assembly.
Were you signed up
wet
for that class?
Only.
Welcome to the wave, everybody. Welcome to the wave.
Like, even Derek's was in seventh grade now. So when he was in fifth grade, I was like, they're going to be giving you the talk next year. He's like, I know. I go, how do you know? He's like, the older kids have already told us, we get it and stuff. They just give you like a prep talk in fifth grade. And then sixth grade, I think you're right, is where they start hitting you with the heavy stuff.
Okay, so there were some crossover things that didn't happen for me because I went to private school up until eighth grade. Like, eighth grade was when I started going to public school. So I didn't
get
that
talk. So you missed the wet dream heads up.
I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
So I'm just like blowing crazy loads in my boxers. Just like insane. Like just waking up and just being like, what happened down there? Like, it is a mess. Like, I'd have to go to the bathroom, wipe it out, put like some soap in it, put them back on because I was embarrassed, and then go back to sleep with my wet jizz boxers.
And you never once felt, I'm guessing you didn't, comfortable to go to your parents and ask what's going on?
Eventually I did, because it kept happening so much that I was like.
For how long? Years?
Years.
Years?
Years.
You were having multiple wet dreams per week for years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many years? Yeah.
A lot of lows, play.
How many years?
All day, son.
All day.
How many years before you finally spoke up?
It was probably a couple years, probably. So I was probably like, whenever I finally...
Who did your laundry? Your mom had
my mom.
I was going to say, there's no way.
Yeah, but
your
mom's not going to say anything.
Yeah.
No, but she's not going to say anything, but at least she knew when you finally came.
I would always wipe it pretty good.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Huh? Yeah. I said when you finally came, but I meant to her to talk about it. I didn't just mean...
Right. No, I finally, like, after a while, it was happening so much, I finally went to my dad with jizz-soaked, filled rubber ducky boxers. And I just was like, hey, Dad, this thing keeps happening, and I don't know if I'm peeing the bed or not, because I feel like I'm too old to pee the bed. And do you know what this is? And I just hold these jizz-filled boxers up to my dad's face.
He's like,
get that out of here. He's like,
son of a bitch almost put his cum in my face today. Jesus Christ.
He knew what it was immediately. He just looks at me and all he goes, you'll figure it out. And then, like, that was it.
This guy was a denial.
That's not good. Was he raised religious his whole life, too?
He was a missionary's kid. That's where all this comes from. My grandparents are insane. They're, like, next level, like, My grandma will still use the N-word like it's no problem. Like, she's from like the deep south. Like,
first of all, that is not where I thought you were gonna go when you're like, dude, they're hardcore missionaries.
Yeah, right.
they don't even use
electricity.
What you meant to say is hardcore racist.
Well, no. They grew up in the south, but no, I guess it was more acceptable. She's still they're good people.
And the south term,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she First should of all, come I'm see the Rose sure Battle. She died. She dropped dead if she saw the Rose Battle.
If she saw any of my online content,
she would die. I would like to put a Periscope up of her watching the Rose Battle.
Oh,
Periscope of a Periscope.
She wanted to see this this independent movie that I did earlier last year, and I have a sex scene in it, and I swear constantly, and the family's just like, they just keep like. finding ways to not show it to her. Like, yeah, I don't think you would enjoy it. It's, you know, it's a pretty Hollywood movie.
It's a little much. But I'll tell you who would enjoy it is that youth counselor. He'd be like, yo,
let me see that sex scene that you were in.
You were in porn? Right?
Yeah.
Look at this angle.
You watch some porn?
Yeah.
So your dad just says, You'll figure it out. So he wasn't a hellion and then converted to, he was just this way his whole life too.
Yeah. That's how it was.
Well, yeah, he was probably wanting to get out, but just was, it was so beaten down in his head, he never got that chance to get into public school like Jeremiah over here.
Right?
I just can't even.
But
rubber duck. Loaded with cum in his desk.
My mom always bought me animated or character boxers. And I ended up getting jizz on superheroes like Spider-Man, Batman.
Different kind of web, Spider-Man. Yeah,
a lot of different Old Navy kind of plaids.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Did you ever go talk to your mom about it?
No.
Dad only?
No. It ended up truly being from other friends at public school. And I talked to my brother a little because I have an older brother, but even he and I didn't talk about this kind of stuff.
I had the same exact thing. There was no dad. I would never go to my mother with this. I learned it all from older kids. And I remember my brother's 2 years older in school, and all my friends, all their brothers were in the same grade. And my brother, we weren't buds or anything, but I was better friends with his friends. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Except this one kid, Mike Rosa. Mike Rosa, if you listen, fuck you, bitch.
Fuck you, Mike Rosa.
Tried to fight me in the lunch line my freshman year. He got in my face, and I'm like, dude, I'm not fighting you. Get out of here. Anyway, they used to come to us when we were seventh grade. They were freshman year in high school, and they'd be like, "Yo, you guys jacking off yet?" We're like, "No, dude, you got to, bro."
That's how it was.
And we were like, "What, dude? No way!" And they're like, "Telling you, dude." They were they were coming from the other side, being like, "Listen, this is where it's at." And we were like, "Nah, dude, get the hell out of here." And then I made a pact with my buddy that we wouldn't do it until we fooled around with the chick, and she did it.
Oh wow!
He caved though.
Same thing. He caved though. Same thing with us. We'd be running the track around gym and stuff like that. They'd be like, "Yo, Watkins, you masturbating yet?" And I'm like, "No, not yet." They're like, "Yeah, got to get into it. See you later."
I'm wet dreaming like crazy, player.
No one ever had those conversations.
It was super. I mean,
I feel like I might have been the guy telling people, "Man, y'all, you got to know what you
probably
mean.
Were.
I probably was
In
that.
Sixth
I was
grade,
probably
this guy's
the guy
holding assembly."
I used to watch music videos and be like, "Look at Whitney Houston in this one right here. You don't think she's hot in there?" And they're like, "She's not hot." I'm like, "She's fucking hot." I was into everything.
I would get so many boners a day, too, because I wasn't masturbating. Yeah, I remember watching Friends, and throughout the day, I got 23 boners in a day. 23
Come
boners.
Come on.
Jesus.
Because that's a boner an hour.
Yeah. It was insane.
Jesus Christ.
And
your body was trying to screaming at you.
Oh, man. And now.
Those boners are breaking.
You don't see me? I'm up again, man. Come on.
That bone was breaking that Bible belt.
It
man.
Was.
Trying to get out of there.
Yeah, in eighth grade, they're at the lunch table and stuff. I didn't even know really what porn was. And there's these guys at the lunch table would be like, "Yo, have you you download stuff on Kazaa? Do you remember Kazaa?"
Mm-mm.
It was one of the Napster type things, but you could download music or videos and stuff like this. And they would tell me the most graphic things I'd ever heard in my life every day at lunch. And it would just he's like, "Yeah, man, I downloaded this video last night where this bald guy, he's shoving a football inside this girl's pussy back and forth, back and forth." And I was like, "What?" And then and he goes,
he hasn't even masturbated.
I haven't even masturbated yet. And I'm hearing this public school. And I'm like, "A football in a girl's vagina? What?" And he goes, "Yeah. And you know how the video ended?" I go, "No, I don't know if I want to know." He goes, "The guy stuck his bald head up the girl's pussy, full on over his head." I was like, "What?" This is eighth grade. I'm like, I'm terrified by this stuff. And they would tell me, every day,
terrified
the same
by
kid
it right now.
"Yo, I saw this video of this horse having sex with a girl last night." I was like,
I've seen that. Oh, I do remember Kazaa.
Isn't that
Catholic came standard with every music
that was in your
and you get this
part.
Free horse sex video. So there you go.
That's intense.
That's what I'm saying. You're hearing about it. It's around you everywhere.
Yeah.
And okay, so you go until how long before you finally masturbated?
17 and a half.
What was the tipping point?
I finally,
no pun intended. Right, exactly. Anywhere. And anything, I feel like anything he said has got something in it.
Yeah.
It finally was
the breaking point, I should say.
Yeah, I just kept having so many wet dreams. I was like, and then people kept telling me, like, dude, it feels so good. You got to do it.
I just feel like if you bumped into your dick, you'd probably
it was
knocked against a wall. You just start.
You just took it outside and peed in the wind. I feel like it would just.
I used to wear basketball shorts in high school. And if I walked down the hallway the wrong way, I would start to get a boner and I'd have to grab a textbook and put it over.
Well, I remember those days in high school.
Anytime I hugged a girl, instant boner. I hugged a girl straight, just like boobs to chest, instant boner. And I was like,
she's like, Jeremiah, let go of me.
Oh my God. I remember getting boners and sweatpants in high school. Yeah. And then I was like, can't wear sweatpants anymore. I would have my hand in my pocket, hold my dick down while I walked between classes and shit. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
And it was no more. It was jeans from then on out and khakis.
Yeah. And I didn't really have like.
Okay, so walk us through the night that, or is it a day?
Walk us through when it happened.
I want to know.
I'm glad.
This is like a double virginity story to me, really, because you're finally taking your own virginity.
Yeah.
17 and a half. Oh, and then what was it? 29 when you actually got laid?
22.
He's
playing.
27.
I know.
In a couple years, let's hope.
Let's see.
All right.
We'll see what happens. Okay, so.
I want to hear the romance.
Okay, so this is what happens. All right. So, nobody. I think my mom and dad were gone that day.
Oh yeah, that day. Interesting.
That day, it was after school, and I remember at the one of the old houses that we lived at. There was a bathroom that was right next to the laundry room. So, sometimes you could close a couple doors and you could be quiet in there, basically. Mm-hmm. So I decided, I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it today. And I go in there, and I just start thinking of hot girls. I just start thinking, I'm like, okay, all right. Just thinking of just like whatever celebrities at that time or whatever, or maybe a hug that I got earlier that day. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows?
So I sit down on the toilet, not needing to poop or anything. I'm just like, this is how you do it. So I sit down, I pull my pants down, I'm sitting on the toilet naked.
Sun up. I wasn't picturing the sun up, but go ahead.
And I have a boner now. I'm looking down.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, at all times. And I give it one pump, and I wait, and I look around.
You took your hand off. And
I took
stopped.
It off.
He's holding it right now because I know you.
Because I have no contact.
He's got his hands up like the police.
I have no contact. I have
one pump.
I have.
I feel like this is something like. This is like Andy Kaufman.
It's like a shotgun and waiting for it to shoot itself.
Yeah.
God. It's like Andy Kaufman playing some like European coming to the United States and not learning how a bidet works or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I've got Kleenex or toilet paper just like folded up on my left thigh and I'm just waiting. And then I give it two pumps next time and then I'm waiting. I'm thinking it's going to explode. I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, it does it on its own, so that would make sense that one or two would get you.
Seriously.
So finally, I start stroking it a little bit faster, but I'm afraid of what's going to happen. So by the time
based off of what's been in your underwear the last two and a half years.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know if a haunted house is going to come out.
Yeah, after what you saw happen to Spider-Man. Who knows?
So by the time I finally come, I'm only doing it strategically, like only a little bit here and there. I'm not like going to town. So it like barely leaks out whenever I finally come for the first time. And I was like, really? This is what everybody's, the hype is all about? Whatever. I wait a little bit. I do it again. But this time I go to town. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not doing it fast or hard enough.
Yeah, fuck this dick.
You know what? I'm going to teach you a thing or two, dick. Let me show you something.
Christian
right now.
Dick.
Ain't nobody home.
So then I start, you know, really going, like really faster. Then pure ecstasy. Time slows down. I'm just like, this is what everybody's been talking about.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure losing my religion is about you. I think that's what this song is about right now.
Right?
That's what this is.
And then I hooked ever since. Now I love it.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Well,
so then I start. So then.
17
okay.
and a half.
So then.
And finally, you took your own virginity.
And then I finally did. And then at that point, now I start. You know,
now you're beast mode.
Now I'm beast mode. Now I start. I have like some Britney Spears cutouts of magazines. I have who else at that time? Oh, Jessica Simpson. I was in love with Jessica Simpson at that time. Oh, man. So I have all these magazine clippings that I had in a binder that whenever I wanted to masturbate, I'd go to the bathroom and open up the binder and I'd just spread them out.
Oh, my God.
And I'd just start going to town. And these loads were crazy because it's still backed up.
Of course.
Like I used to do this thing where I didn't even know that I was blue balling myself. I'd be looking at the computer screen and I'd be looking at stuff and I'd right before I was about to go, I would cut myself off and I keep doing that.
Tantric.
Over and over. I could do it for the longest time. And then finally I let myself go. I shot a load that went over my head and landed on my shoulder. And I'm just like looking at him, like, all right, I gotta take a break. I gotta slow down. This is
oh my god!
Out of hand.
A simple conversation would have just helped you so much.
Oh yeah,
so many. I mean, how many people out there's parents just don't know how to break this stuff down?
That's it.
I can't wait to have this conversation.
Get at it. If that's what you're into, get at it. It's yours. I tell Derek, my stepson, all the time. It's totally fine to touch your privates in private. That's it. Go behind that door, lock it, beat the hell out of it.
See
if
the
you
sign
want.
On the wall.
Touch privates.
In private.
In private. I tell them that's why they're called your privates. You go touch them in private and do whatever the hell you want to them. Just don't set them on fire. God damn. So, okay, so now you start dating. You hadn't dated at all prior to this either, right?
I had very innocent type girlfriends that I would be in a quote-unquote relationship with. But
who was
just
the one girl? Who's the one girl that was like, you can touch my titties or whatever, and you were just, it blew your mind that she was going to let you do this
to her?
Dude,
honestly, in high school and college, the most that I did with a girl was kiss a girl on the cheek.
In college, too?
Came that second, man.
Came that second, baby.
Check, hold on.
What's happening to you right now? You all right?
I'm filling up my boxers. Sorry, one second.
Suck. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first time I was ever, I had
molested?
I got an HJ.
Oh, sorry.
No,
okay.
I was a freshman and I got an HJ and I had never masturbated.
Oh, man.
And so I freaked out.
Of course you
did. I didn't know what was going on. And I was with this girl. She was a junior. She'd just come from tanning. It was the middle of the winter. She was hot.
She drive up from Jersey.
Please tell me she left her necklace on, so when her necklace moved from side to side, you saw the tan line.
No, but she was in a bikini. I mean, think about this. In the back of her Ford LTD, she's in a bikini, but with like a flannel over it and pants because she sweatpants. And I'm just trying to touch her boobs, and she's like, no. She wouldn't let me. Then we'd make out. And then she just almost like wanted to control over me and gave me an HJ. And I came, and then I was just like, I got to go home. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I just got to go home. I thought I peed my pants. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, you don't know what's
so
happening.
So if you don't have that talk, you're going to be putting some awkward
psychologically
situation.
Damaged.
Yo, man. Damaged
forever.
So tell us about 22 and a half, losing your virginity.
Yeah.
That's me in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
That's me in the spotlight.
So I started dating my current girlfriend.
Oh, that's good.
The first time I lost my virginity is to my current girlfriend, and we've been together for, dude, this week will be 5 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah. So
how many dudes she banged before, though?
Man, lots. You know, lots.
How is she banging right now, player? Let's get her out here. Hey, come on.
had to get ready to teach me some things. You know
what I'm saying?
You don't want two people who are inexperienced.
You don't want two turtles on their back, man. At least one person to have a good time.
I mean, whenever that the first time, I
did
mean,
it blow her mind that she was taking your virginity? Did you tell her?
Oh yeah, no, she was ready.
Or she was all excited.
She was ready to have sex before I was, and I was like, I don't know. I still like I want to. wait a while. And at that
I'm
point,
afraid what it might do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might blow out your inside.
Yeah, I might ruin your inside.
It's like a Tommy gun.
My ejaculate is aggressive.
Have you seen Spider-Man, the Venom symbiote suit? It gets inside and it takes over your entire body, and then you're just wearing a jizz suit after I'm done.
So anyway. How long were you dating before you had sex?
We were dating for, I want to say 3 months.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And
moving quick, play.
She steered that boat.
Yeah, I decided, I was like, you know what? If I am in love with a girl, then I'll have sex. And then it happened. So I was like, all right, there you go. I mean, nothing really funny there, but it was just like,
sex wins over religion every time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He might not even be in love with her because he has no idea. He's like, shit, I must be in love. I'm having sex with her all the time. This must be love.
Right?
Man.
That's tight.
That's a very interesting story. And now, how do your parents feel about you? Do you live together? You've been together five years?
At this point, my parents had already gotten divorced my junior year of high school.
Oh, so they're out.
The views changed.
Clearly.
The views of my family have changed. They've flip-flopped entirely over the years. It's insane. Like, my parents are completely different parents from the parents that I knew growing up.
Grandmother still raises.
Absolutely.
She's going to hold on to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, but they... Everything.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, older brother, younger sister.
I imagine your parents will probably be the same people they were today without kids. That's why kids are, open you up to shit, because you don't want to see someone you love going through what you're going through and then be like, oh, if they're fucking good for them, it's going to be good for us.
Yeah.
No, you said divorce was one of the things that was frowned on, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the Church of the God of the Hopeless?
Yeah, we got judged like crazy.
The hopeless.
That's hilarious.
So
before I had sex for the first time, I actually called my mom and I was like, what do you think?
You called your mom?
I called my mom.
Not your dad?
Not my dad.
I'm closer to my mom. Face,
yeah.
But you called
but
your
I'm
mom.
Closer to my mom. Okay. Like as far as that, I guess. I don't know.
And what did she say?
And she's like, Do you like this girl? Do you love this girl? I was like, yeah. And she goes,
put your dick in her, son.
She goes, let this girl show you the ropes.
She said that for real?
She said that for real. That's verbatim.
Let me tell you something. That is actually fantastic advice from your mother there.
Yeah.
Now,
for her.
She goes, you've waited long enough. She goes, I always told you I wanted you to wait till marriage. But I thought you were going to get married
at
like 17 or something.
I never believe what I was making.
Pretty much.
Now, Jeremiah, do you know if she comes from clitoral stimulation? That's something you might want to ask her.
Whoever that new guy is you think she could do better than, he must be bringing the wood, because she was like, let her show you the ropes.
Bringing the wood,
yeah,
huh?
He's bringing the wood to Jeremiah's mom.
I did this super cheesy thing after I had sex with my girlfriend for the first time where I had a little index card, and all I put on it in Sharpie was a capital V, and I just gave it to her after we
taking
were
that
done.
V card, playa.
Taking that V card, playa.
Shit. Take it, girls. Yo.
So we used to, when I first got back to Hollywood, I lived with a couple of friends, and one was dating this Russian girl at the time, and they would fuck so loud. And we're sitting and trying to watch TV and it's interrupting. So every night they would fuck, we would take our cards and we would hold up like Olympic judges when they'd walk out of the room. We put like 5.5 and hilarious. Shit like that. She would get pissed. She hated it. We'd be like 4.6 and shit like that.
That's so funny. Yeah, my roommate, the first place I moved into Los Angeles, he had a hot girlfriend that they'd always bang. And they were right, like, our walls, like, they're paper thin that separated us. And I would just listen and I'd masturbate to her. Like, I was like, all right, there we go. If you're going to put me through this, I mean, I'm gonna get something out of it.
I'm with you. It happened to me, too. I used to share a wall with a couple on the other side, and they used to bang, and she would cry when she came at the end of it. She'd be like, oh. And she would say, so like,
she was Asian?
Talk, No, she was a white lady. She was talking shit to him. She would talk shit to him, too. She's like, give it to me, Steve. And then he would cry. Or he would. I'm sorry. She would at the end. Maybe he did, too.
You're masturbating. You're like, I'm Steve.
And I would rub it out. Then I was like, well, they would wake me up at like 2 in the morning. And yeah. I was like, well, fuck it, then. I'm just going to rub one out and go back to bed.
To bed. Yeah.
But then a few days later, I see him. I'm walking by. And I see him at his front door, like locking his door and leaving, or coming in and I'm leaving. And I walk by, I said, what's up, Steve? And I just kept walking. He snapped his head, looked at me like, how's this motherfucker know my name?
That's so good.
Do you ever see that old Steve Byrne bit he used to do when you're walking through a hotel and you hear people having sex and he's like, huh? Huh? Is that for me? Like, because you just got to know who it is.
Yeah.
So you were telling us earlier about this radio station and... There's an important figure in that story, I guess, that ties into all the stuff we've just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mind sharing that with us?
Okay. So I was doing morning radio in Kansas City whenever I got this job at 19, which
what
is
kind
pretty
of
cool.
Radio station was it?
Okay. So, you know, 98.7 out here in L.A. It's like alternative. Alternative rock.
Oh, yeah. 98.7.
But it's like, popular rock.
Yeah. It's the same. It's alternative rock that's the exact same as
like
that.
Green Day and Third
you're
Eye
listening
Blind
to 98.7 like 96.5 The Buzz, like that's the whole thing that they do. Green Day, Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, all that stuff. So I was working there for a while and he talked to me. He was fascinated by me that I hadn't had sex yet.
Who, the radio DJ?
The radio DJ, because this dude at this point up into my life, As far as adults go, this guy was the most secular person I had ever met. Like, that was an adult. Like, my friends and stuff in public school, I was like, oh, yeah, but I never met an adult figure like him. He just didn't care. He just would always say what was on his mind. And it was like, good for me to get that kind of exposure before moving out to Los Angeles. And, the transition was much easier after working for this dude. But he would always, ask me questions and stuff. And he would say, like, you haven't sex yet? Whatever. I'm like, no, I'm a virgin, all this stuff. And
this isn't on the air, is it?
All on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All
oh,
on the air.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And we would talk about that, and he goes, let me put it to you this way. He goes, you're wanting to wait till marriage? I was like, yeah, I think so. He goes, let's break this down real quick. He goes, how old are you? I go, I'm 19. He goes, okay, and how old do you think you're going to be whenever you get married? I was like, oh, at least 30 or in my 30s. He goes, okay, so you're telling me that you're going to wait 11 years before you have sex? And I go, I didn't really think of it like that. And he goes, okay, imagine that you want to buy a car, okay? Now, are you just going to buy that car without ever test driving it? I was like, no, that'd be stupid. He's like, there you go, man. You got to start having sex. I was like, oh, okay. So
our calls are lighting up over here right now. 19-year-old virgin right here. Go ahead, Colin.
That's exactly what it was like on the air. That's exactly what it was like. And he would always bring up, like, this guy, like, really challenged. He was the first person to really be like to challenge my belief system and be like, hey, you need to take a look at this because nobody else is asking about this stuff. And one of the bills for gay marriage was going back and forth, and they were doing a bit on the air. They're like, my radio name was Stedman at the time because I made a music video, a love ballad for Oprah, and that helped me get a job at the radio station because it was like a comedy music video. Yeah. And he thought it was hilarious. And so he's like, oh, we're going to call you Stedman, like Oprah Winfrey's boyfriend. So he's like, Stedman, what do you think about gay marriage? And this is me coming from super conservative Kansas background, religious all my life. I go, oh, no, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman. He goes, really?
Preferably in their 30s.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes, okay, well, let's take some callers and see what they think about this.
People started
challenging me on the air about this. And I just, the whole time I was like, I just stayed in it. I was like, no, I don't think it should be legalized. I don't think it should be, I think it should exclusively be between marriage between a man and a woman. That's how God intended it. All that stuff. And I just like held true.
Drawn from your education.
Yeah. I've been learning that my entire life.
Right.
So he goes, okay, Stedman. He goes, we're going to have a special surprise for you tomorrow morning. We'll see if we can get this ready for you. I come to the station. He goes, don't get here before 6 a.m. Because sometimes I'd show up at like 5:45.
Were you hired to be on-air talent and everything for this?
Yeah,
okay, so you're not the intern that he's brought in dive into his world and stuff.
I screen calls, and I'm on-air talent, and then I would do man-on-the-street segments.
Okay.
They'd like take me out with like a Zoom recorder, and I'd interview people on the street, and there'd be different bits that he'd play on the air. So whenever I was on screen calls, he'd bring me on the air to talk back and forth with me and stuff like that.
So now don't get here before...
Don't get here before 6 a.m. The shift was 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. always. So I get there right at 6, and they're getting the show going. And he goes, all right, are you ready for that surprise? I go, okay. He calls them in. They start playing It's Raining Men on the radio. And two gay guys come in leather chaps, sit down right in front of me, look at me, and start making out like crazy. They start feeling each other. They're rubbing each other's dicks, all this stuff. Just right.
Did you get a boner?
No.
Came twice.
This is, I was terrified. I was very homophobic at that. Like, I'd never even seen gay people before. Yeah. And I was like, what is going on? They're in leather chaps, shirtless, rubbing on each other, like, oh, all over the skin, all this stuff. They're dying laughing because I'm covering my eyes. I'm not wanting to look. They're taking pictures of me. They posted it on their website. They thought it was the funniest thing ever. They're like, oh man, we just got Stedman. Check out the photos online.
Wow.
All this stuff. And so then he starts interviewing the gay guys. And he goes, they're talking back and forth. And then one of the gay guys asks me, he looks directly at me. He goes, so do you think that gay people should be married? And I looked him right in the eyes and I go, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
And he goes, and the radio DJ, he was surprised that I like held, like stuck to my guns.
Yeah.
Basically. And he had them make out and stuff in front of me.
You make them fuck
more
next
and more.
Until
yeah.
Until you said I. You
yeah. But like he brought him back like one more other time, and it was just like he was like trying to like show me different, you know, show me the world. Basically.
That's
like,
right.
Hey, Kansas is a pretty small place. There's
but this
more
is
people
still happening here.
Yeah, but this is still happening here. And he was informing me. He's like, where do you guys live? And they're like, oh, we live like 15 minutes from here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just stuff that I wasn't exposed to.
Like,
going to private
school. People live close by.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I, at one point, my dad, I mean, it's probably different now, but he's like, I don't know if you should listen to Elton John. He's gay. I was like, what? And my uncle,
you know how much music you'd miss out
I know,
on if
I
you
know.
Didn't listen yeah. to gay guys?
My uncle
or
got
women.
So mad when he heard that. He's like, he goes, I have gay friends, and I guarantee you, like, my uncle.
Wait, your uncle, your dad's brother?
My dad's sister's husband.
Okay.
He found out about this. He's like, your dad said what? Like, and I would caddy for my uncle, and at the end of the day, he goes, Jeremiah, he goes, if I told you that one of the guys that you caddied for today was gay, would you believe me? I was like, no. He's like, one of the guys that you caddied for today was gay.
Remember
you
the guy
to
that jacked you off in the 12 hole? That guy was gay.
That guy was totally gay.
But yeah, so basically it was like, there's like a couple people who really like, you know, they're trying to open my eyes up about like the different stuff. So,
especially it's a fine line because I'm an uncle of like, what you say to your niece and nephews and how close you are with them because you know that your brother and sister are trying to establish some kind of upbringing at home, whether you agree with it or not. You know what I mean?
And all this, this was going on while my family kind of thought that I might be gay because it was kind of like a weird, touchy subject because I didn't really have many girlfriends around that time. So
or you can drop the M from that and say any. Yeah. Got an extra fucking letter in that word.
So I would, you know, I would only have guy friends and hang out. And it was whenever we were all hanging out, it was still acceptable to have sleepovers and all that stuff. So my like
showing up after the sleepovers with a wet no fucking shit, box. Right?
Everybody.
No. But yeah, it was, I mean, my uncle thought that I was gay for sure. He would always be like, "So, how's Michael doing?" I was like, "Oh yeah, they're good." He's like, "Yeah, you like him?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, he's a good buddy." He's like, "No, you like you like Michael?" I was
Wait,
like,
your
"What?"
Dad would say this?
No, my uncle.
Oh.
The guy with the gay friends. I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" And so I was like always like super like,
"Well, now they got it in your head."
Yeah, now they get in my head like, "Yeah, is this guy gay?" I was like, "Yeah, what's going on?" And so I'm proud to say, no. Basically, as I got older, I just got opened up to more worldviews and everything.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
Like moving,
well, also matures.
I mean,
another
matured,
part of that.
And he's separated from the church.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Him.
Is getting away from that poison you were fed for so long.
And then, so whenever I come to Los Angeles, I started making gay friends. I had a gay roommate. All that stuff.
Bang the gay guy.
I banged the gay guy. Yeah. So, you know, you got to get one underneath your belt just to check to see if you're gay.
Well,
you know,
that's a lot of belt in your life.
A lot of belts. But
so you said you used to do stuff. You were into wearing, what was it you wore around the house all the time?
Oh, I would wear Speedos. And that contributed to probably them thinking that I was gay.
But just
I thought
around
it was
the house or when you went
I would wear
swimming.
It around the house and just as like jokes, like all the time. Like we had like a neighborhood pool and I would like sometimes wear the Speedo to there. And I just thought it was so funny to see people's reactions. I'd love getting.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
And were you then?
I was pretty close to that. I was like 6'1".
I mean, it must have just
know,
been
right?
hilarious.
I mean,
dude.
I'm
you
super
ready to swim
white.
Laps?
Yeah.
No?
I'm super white. All
right, man.
And then I used to do this thing whenever I'd go to the beach. Anytime we'd visit a beach, like go on a road trip or to California, I would put a cup inside the Speedo, so it's this gigantic
yeah,
bulge.
Yeah.
And I just to get people's reactions, because so I'd be like good. Walking down and the street and stuff, and there was a I was walking down the street and only a Speedo and shoes, and there's this girl who's riding a bike, and she literally does a double take and then crashes into the Speedo.
She jacked Tripper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, you know, all this stuff contributed to that. But yeah, now I'm totally cool with gay marriage, all that.
Yeah,
like,
I would
you know,
imagine, yeah.
Yeah, as...
I mean, trust me, I my eyes were open to so much things when I moved to L.A., because it's not like you're just moving to another city. You're moving to, like...
It's a different lifestyle.
The
everything.
Biggest melting pot, well, maybe not the biggest, but, like, a crazy
One
melting
of.
Pot. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, just there's more diversified cities than L.A., but still, there's definitely... A large gay population in L.A.
It's not,
yeah.
And it's not only gay either. Then you start learning about, like, I didn't know anything about transgender or any of that stuff until I got
oh,
here.
Yeah.
I didn't know that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. Like you said, I didn't know it existed. You know what
right.
I mean? You live in this, your own little world.
It's like
a
little bubble. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I was having some sexual difficulties at one point in my life out in L.A. And you know who I went to? A gay guy. Because he was going to be sensitive towards me. He was totally open to give me advice. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're going through. I did blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was in a different realm than I was, but, like, totally helped me out. You think I would have done that back in Mass?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I feel like parts of this episode have been, like, NPR. And that's when my parents thought that I was gay.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll be right
God.
Back.
We'll be right that. Back after this message this with is, Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler.
This has been.
Hold
we're
on,
not, no, 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 no. We're not done. I'm just wanted to say this has been a very enlightening, interesting, like other side of the world tracks, I guess, conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm blown
if
away.
If I
by
could
that.
Turn and back time,
I don't
even
know
why.
Such a nice fucking guy, and but it also makes sense why you're
in a bigot,
a bit
but
crazy.
So it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
yeah.
You got a little bit of your grandma on you, but whatever.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me why you're so a bit crazy. You were repressed mentally and sexually for so long. That's why you wanted to wear a Speedo. You wanted to show your body off. One of the rules was you
first,
can't show skin.
Whoa, well, would you,
like,
would you
I'll show
slow,
you, motherfucker.
Who is this over here?
Teaching
He's
them
like
lessons.
Breaking you down. You were repressed, man.
You were
didn't
repressed.
Know this. But it's what I love about Jeremiah is what you do on stage and what you do with your comedy is so off the wall, yet never had any booze, weed, and
yeah,
or
we
sex.
Haven't even talked about that
yeah,
yet.
We don't need to.
We haven't even talked about that. You've never drank alcohol, smoked weed, or
no.
any drugs for that
No,
matter.
Which is very interesting. I didn't even see this was part of the shift that happened in my life in high school, junior year, or like, no, more just like in the public school time. I'd never seen my parents drink or smoke until high school. I'd never seen them do any of that either. Yeah. And then
do you think they hit it and you didn't notice it, or do you think they just started then?
That's hard to say. I think that if they hit it, if they did, they did a really freaking good job of it, because we were considered like the family that we were the family at this Christian school that was like a storybook family. Yeah. Like my mom always had us looking like they always said, oh, every day is a picture day for the Watkins kids. Like we were like the
except for that Speedo.
What is he wearing over the jeans?
That's pretty aggressive.
Kind of wow. Yeah.
Some bitches got quite a package. Honestly.
He stuffs. But yeah, I got lost
drinking
in my thought.
Hiding.
Oh yeah, so I didn't even see them drink or smoke until high school. And my brother and sister, I didn't see like with weed. Yeah,
your
with
parents?
Weed. No, my sister got into weed, and my brother like went through like a party phase and all that stuff. But this is all like surrounding like parents getting divorced, all that stuff. So like it was a massive transition. And for like I saw like to go from seeing your parents being like super strict religious people to seeing
the light.
Seeing them in party mode and like either drunk or yeah. like smoking or doing drugs.
Out.
It was crazy. Big switch.
Yeah.
Wow. It is yeah, that's very interesting. All of it is.
And the naked thing, I've always just thought it was funny. I just think male nudity specifically is just hilarious.
It kills me too.
It's just so funny.
When we were in San Diego,
yeah.
We're getting ready for shows on Saturday night. Like Jeremiah and I met on Friday driving down. Well, not met, but first time ever hanging out.
Yeah, first time really hanging out. Yeah.
Drove down on Friday, right?
Yeah, drove down on Friday, yeah.
Did two shows Friday night. Saturday hung out, went to lunch,
yeah.
Drove around, and then we're getting ready to I go over to his room. He's got his own room and bathroom. I got mine. I go over naked. And I walk right into his bathroom where he's getting ready. And I go, you know what I hate, dude? When people don't understand boundaries. Take your time. You get your space. I got mine. And he's just dying. He's laughing his ass off.
He loves it.
Yeah. And he's like, I just didn't know if we were there yet. I'm like, oh, we're there, bro.
So the next morning, it's like 10 a.m. And we need to drive back to L.A. now. And I barge into his room. I'm only wearing socks. I'm completely naked. I'm like, hey, Jay, I think I overslept. I think we need to get on the road. We should probably get going pretty soon here.
Had to get it in.
I had to get it back.
Full boner, bro.
Well, when you weren't stepped out before we started about you streaked one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How old were you?
Oh, man. I would have probably been 14 or 15.
That's young.
That's yeah. way young.
Yeah. Probably 14 or 15.
Where'd you streak?
At church camp.
There's the kicker, man.
He streaked at church camp.
Man, that fucking counselor's like, fuck yeah. This kid knows how to party.
Yeah.
Because my question is, were you a member of this camp or did you go streak another church camp?
No, I was a member of this
church
camp.
Oh, so you had to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but we did it at night, so it wasn't like the stakes weren't as high.
How many is we?
Me and three or four other guys went streaking across. We tried to get as far as we could, and then we saw flashlights. and they're like, hey, what are you doing? They're like, ah. We start running back to our our bunks.
I mean, it's pretty innocent, too, because he was just innocent, though. It wasn't like he even knew anything about anything.
Pressed, but.
But at this camp, background
there?
Story. Yeah. At this camp.
I'm just laughing so hard watching him, thinking in my mind, him streaking through these cabins and shit.
And backstory on this camp, this is a Church of God Holiness camp. So the men are only, you're not allowed to wear shorts. This is summer, July.
You're not even allowed to have cutoff sleeves.
Summer, July. so hot and humidity in Missouri is horrible around that time of the year. No shorts. Women can't wear pants. They have to wear skirts that are below the knee, or they these athletic shorts called culottes, which is like a giant skirt, if you've never heard of that. And sleeves can't be above the shoulder. It has to be like mid-length sleeves.
God.
Can you roll them up when you're hot?
Can't roll them up. What about, they would tell you to roll them back down.
What about swimming?
Swimming, they would separate us, and the guys would go on a swim trip into town in an indoor pool.
Come what? On. What? There was no lake or anything?
No. At least we weren't allowed to swim in it if there
you
was
You weren't allowed to swim
it.
With the girls.
No. Yeah, separate
us. You wear your Speedo?
Heck yeah, I did.
Did you?
I wore a Speedo. I wore a Speedo the first year, and then I was like, the next year I went, I was like, I got to top this. I borrowed one of the girls' bathing suits, and I came out in a bikini, and it was disgusting.
Nuts.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, it didn't fit, so, like, my balls were, like, popping out and stuff. And they're just, because my whole thing, I think it's the funniest thing ever, because at this camp, if you have to be that strict with your body, what's the most rebellious thing you can do is show your body. So that's why I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So we got in trouble for streaking. That was the first year. And like I went to the same camp for like 2 or 3 years in a row. And like each year I tried to like outdo myself with stuff. And one year I went streaking and we got punished.
Is everyone blowing loads in the middle of the night at this goddamn camp? Because I imagine you all aren't masturbating and everyone is just fucking up their body. Did you just bring like a shitload of boxes?
I got to rewind to a different church camp that I went to that was a few years before that. And then I'll get back to this camp where I was streaking at. Okay. This is how little that I knew about masturbation, male body, all that. I'm probably 12 or 13 at this different church camp that I went to. I went with my buddy. And he says, hey, Jeremiah, I can do this thing with my penis where I can make stuff come out of it. And I was like, what? No, you can't. He's like, yeah, it's crazy. It's like this weird like magic trick. I was like, what? And I was like, let me see. So me and a few other kids are watching my friend, my best friend at the time, masturbate in his bunk. And we're all laughing. We're like, dude, this is stupid. This is stupid. What's going on? We're all laughing. We think it's funny. It's weird. I mean, it was weird because there were some kids in there that were like 16 or 17 that came to watch that it was like, why are you guys in here?
Why are you also doing it?
Come with the janitor smoking and shit.
So
the counselor's like, hey, let him go.
Let him finish, man. Jesus Christ. Hold hands and sing a song.
So my buddy is in the bunk and he's like, hey, everybody shut up. Quit laughing at me. I gotta focus. He grabs a picture of a girl, like a Polaroid that he's taken of a girl from a different church camp. He's like, yeah, this will work. And he starts masturbating. And we don't know what's going on. I've never even heard of masturbating. And I don't know. And I think it's hilarious going on the male nudity thing. I was like, this guy's an idiot. This is stupid.
This is insanity. This is jackass on steroids. Yeah.
So he's masturbating now and we're seeing him get a boner and we're like, oh, this is getting kind of weird. And he starts and like within like a minute or two, he jizzes all over this stuffed reindeer that he brought. And we're all like, as soon as
Blitzen's down. Blitzen's out tonight. We're going with 7 reindeer. We're flying with 7 tonight.
And as soon as he comes on this reindeer, the whole bunk explodes like, oh! And we're dying laughing. We can't believe. Because like I'm looking at it like, I'm like, what is that stuff? Like I have no idea what it is. Like, that's crazy. How'd you do that? Like literally just completely ignorant, not knowing at all. He just freaking jacked off in front of like 6 dudes.
He doesn't even know what it is either. He thinks it's a magic trick. He thinks he's the only guy that can do
it, right?
Does he, or is that his way to get you in?
That's a good point, too.
Just like his uncle did with him.
By the time he came, there was 36 people watching. Like, what the fuck's going on in that bunk? People in the back like, what's going on up there?
All right, for the talent show, Timmy's going to...
He's got a trick. He's going to do
something.
Get my
reindeer.
The talent. I keep telling him, you should do it more.
What? So, and this was your boy?
This is my best friend at the time.
Oh, my God.
He's like, so, I can do this thing. So I'm going to trust whatever he says. Yeah, like, I can do this thing.
Have you ever are you still friends with him?
Yeah.
I mean, have you brought this up? Like,
I have not brought up, like, dude, do you remember that you jacked off in front of me? I haven't brought that up.
Hey,
like,
you know that thing you've been going to therapy for over the last 10 years?
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Yeah.
You realize what really went down?
I haven't brought that up to him, so.
Well, it just shows that everyone in this whole community had no freaking clue. That's what I'm
saying. No idea.
And then you put yourself in a more awkward situation or damaging. I mean, that's a damaging experience.
And it's a bunch of them.
For the reindeer, too.
That's what I'm thinking about. Like, all these kids sleeping at night, it's all boys separated. They have got to be, their bodies have got to all be like,
thank God they were separated.
You probably hear them all screaming.
Yeah. Imagine if they were near those women. Who knows?
God forbid. Yeah. Okay, so wait, I took you off of that asking that question. So go back to the
So back to that other church camp that I went to. So I would try to heighten the nudity every single year. Because I was like, this is funny. They're still, and every year they talked about, like, well, next year we're maybe considering letting the men wear shorts at this church camp. And every year they didn't do it. They still, I've seen pictures of this church camp. They still.
Today?
I'm pretty sure that you're still not allowed to wear shorts there. Maybe that's changed. I don't know. But whatever. I'm trying to escalate the nudity. So the first year I go streaking with a bunch of guys and the only punishment that they give us,
that's what I want to know.
The only punishment that they can think to give us is they would make us clean the tabernacle or clean like the kitchen for freaking hours.
Yeah.
Like they would and then all of those people are super strict too. So we would still be trying to joke around the whole time. Like we'd be like plunging toilets and stuff like that. But then, like, I'd be plunging in the toilet, and I'd be like, and then, like, a counselor would walk by and be like, quit being dirty with the plungers. Just plunge the toilet, okay? Just plunge the toilet. Quit doing that.
Jesus.
So I would...
quit having fun.
Quit having fun. You can't have fun clean. So I tried to hide in the nudity. So the next year what I did was I snuck out of my bunk middle of the night. And they went to go do a check for me, and I was gone, and I had hidden in the back of one of the counselor's pickup trucks, and they were looking for me all over the campus at this point. One of the guys called me Waddy for Watkins. He's like, Waddy, where are you? And I'm just sitting naked in the back of a pickup truck with just a cowboy hat over my dick.
Gosh. And just laying there.
And I'm just laying there because all my friends are in on the joke. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be hilarious. They're like, do it. So I'm hearing my name called for like 15, 20 minutes. And now they're starting to get a little worried because then it's like, you know, a missing kid at a camp. But then finally, I have my eyes closed and I feel a flashlight come over my body. And I just hear the guy go, what the? And I go, oh, hey, what's going on? He's like, what are you doing out here? I was like, you know, I was hot inside the bunk. I wanted to get some fresh air. And, you know, I just felt like taking some clothes off.
Oh, my God.
And so then it's him and he's like, they're like, hey, get over here. You got to see this. So then like four other counselors are standing around me. They have a flashlight. They're all dying laughing. They think it's funny too at this point. But then they start playing odd or evens with my thigh hair. They're like leaving me in the bed. Have you ever played that game?
No.
Where you grab like somebody's hair on their arm and you say odd or even. And you pull it and you rip it out. And then you have to guess odd or even. If you guess wrong, then they keep ripping. So he was doing that. It was weird. He was doing that while I was naked and only a cowboy hat, like with my leg hair and stuff. I was like, stop it. I was like, I'm just going to go back to the bunk now. He's like, nope, you got to go clean. And so that was one of the ways that I, the naked truck thing, that was one way. Meanwhile, dude, I'm just like a freaking legend at this church camp because I don't freaking care. And all the other kids are just like, oh, man, he's really doing it.
Wonder if we'll see his dick this summer.
Right? So the next summer at this church camp, this is my final year. This is the one I went out on. This is the last thing I did at this church camp. because now I'm getting to the age, I was like 16, I think, 16 or 17. And we're at this church camp, and it's going throughout the week. We keep thinking of ways, like, well, how are we gonna beat the truck last year and the streaking of the year before that? So we steal all of the music equipment in the middle of the night from where they held the tabernacle services. There's guitars.
Oh, dude.
There's a drum set and everything. We set it up in the barracks, in the bunk barracks, in the main room. You walk in, you open the door, and there's an empty room that nobody slept in, that they hadn't put a cot in. So as soon as you walk in, you have a clear shot of where we posted up with the drums. They plugged in electric guitars, these giant amps, everything. So when, in the middle of the night, we wait till 2 in the morning to wait till, like, it's like everybody's asleep, everything. We start rocking out at naked. 2 in the morning, but we're naked.
Yeah,
and
you are.
And we're just like moshing like back and forth, and then like finally, like they hear it all the way up the hill, and they get down there, and I'm just like whipping my dick back and forth as soon as they walk in, and this like big fat counselor is like, "Hey, stop the music!" And I look at him, and I Buffalo Bill my penis, and I tuck my penis between my legs, and I just start smiling at him.
Giving him more.
just giving him more.
Oh, my God.
And one of the other counselors, like, he can't stop laughing. He goes, the other guy, this was, like, the guy who was super strict. He's like, "Get your clothes on! You're cleaning the tabernacle!" Like, that was the ultimate punishment. That's, like, all that they could do, that they could get away with at this camp.
I don't know why your dad would have thought you were gay.
I don't know, man.
Just no clue.
3 years in a row, like, all right, so this year what Jeremiah did was...
Yeah, I mean, they had to be relaying that to your parents. Like, he tugged his dick between his legs. Yell my fate. Oh, man.
We caught him watching his best friend jack off. I don't know if that's something that's going on at home.
That's actually a story that my parents don't even know. I think that's the first time I've shared that, like, on a podcast.
I hope so. Not for your boy's sake. Timmy, wherever he's at.
Yo, shout out to my friend in New York City.
You got to hit him up.
I got to hit him up and be like,
dude. Do you remember that?
Do you remember that?
He's like, nah, I blocked it out.
Do we have time for a ghost story?
I want to hear that, but we're going to have to move on it.
I'll tell it real quick. Yeah. It doesn't take long.
Okay. I want to hear. You had one.
We love ghost stories.
Love ghost stories. Okay. This is the only time where I felt that a spirit or something was in the room with me, basically. Or like a ghost or whatever you want to call it. So me and my buddy, this is when I was in college, actually. I was going to community college in Kansas City. We are down in his basement. We're watching just movies, stuff like that. We have all the lights off. Only the TV screen you can see. That's all you can see. The flicker of the TV screen. We're sitting in darkness. And we are talking about back and forth, like, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in spirits? And we're both like, yeah, I believe in that. And we start telling each other ghost stories that we've heard and scary stories. And we're talking about horror movies and different scary things that have happened. Like, my sister saw a ghost at our old house. Nobody else saw it, but she saw it like multiple times. And she kept seeing it until she named the ghost and started making fun of it with a friend. And then she never saw it again.
Wow.
And so I was telling my buddy that story, and he was telling me some stories, stuff like that. His, like, grandma had, like, a ghost experience, stuff like that. And we start saying, like, that we believe in demons, that we believe in evil spirits, all this stuff. And the conversation is starting to get, like, darker and darker. So while I'm talking to him, I look at him, and as I start to blink, the room starts to get darker and darker around him. It starts like almost closing in, and it feels like I'm actually being like
pulled back
away from him. Like, I'm being pulled away. Like, he's literally, every time I blink, he's getting smaller and smaller in my vision, almost like a dolly shot that's like tracking out.
It's like a reverse shot.
Yeah. So it's just like pulling back, like a film camera that keeps pulling farther and farther back. And I keep looking at him, and he goes, "Jeremiah, come into the light." And I go, "What?" He goes, Jeremiah, come into the light. And I lean my head forward into the TV light as far as I can. And then I start looking at him. I go, Max, what just happened? He goes, I don't know if you'll believe me, but I just saw a face over your shoulder and two hands pulling your face back.
Oh, I just got chills. Ooh. That's why you felt like he was getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah. And that was the only time where I felt like a ghost was in the room. And he explained perfectly to me what I was feeling.
Like the blackness was the hands sort of covering your eyes.
And pulling me back.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty tight.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, then to chill out, you guys probably,
we jerked each other off.
Ghost jerked you off, too. Got in on.
Yeah, ghosts come everywhere.
Ghost was trying to pull you away, big. Just go rub one out.
By the way, I love how much of this episode revolves around masturbation.
Well, it's so education.
Yeah, education.
Not just masturbation.
Right?
A lot of shuns, man. Thank you for doing this, man. And thank you for being so open and honest with all of it. It's a very interesting story. Why don't you one more time tell everybody where they can find you on social media and where they can see you at your shows?
Sure. Hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Jeremiah Standup. My website is jeremiahwatkins.tv, and you can get info for Stand Up on the Spot, standuponthespot.com. And then, the Goddamn Comedy Jam, the Roast Battle. Check out Midnight Snack. And then if you like...
he's got four shows.
And then... if you like this podcast, you like hear my voice, I do a podcast with my buddy Justin Alexio called The Building Years. You can go to soundcloud.com/The Building Years, and we interview up-and-coming actors and comics, and then we BS on our own. And, check my website or Facebook or Twitter for shows and stuff like that. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, man. It was awesome.
Great.
As always. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Ryan Sickler on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.